This is the 452nd episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter for the AJC. And on today's show, we're going to talk to some of the assistant coaches for the Atlanta Falcons under Coach Raheem Morris, and then try to help you get ready in the second half of the show for the scouting combine that's coming up next week in Indianapolis. If you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, we're back here at episode 452 of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, and we're going to hear from several of the assistant coaches who are in the building doing self-evaluations of last season and of the roster and deciding on who they need to retain, to move forward, who they might have to move off from, and so forth and so on. But let's start with the new quarterback's coach, T.J. Yates. He'll be in charge of the quarterback room after working with the wide receivers the last 2 years and being an offensive assistant, passing game assistant in his first year with the Falcons. Here is quarterback coach T.J. Yates.
As the offseason moves on, you still have two quarterbacks on the roster. Mm-hmm. Do you have to prepare like they're going to be here until – otherwise, to notice.
Absolutely, you know, they're here and they're on our roster right now. So, and obviously, it's going to be a changing situation, an evolution at every step of the way through free agency, through the draft, all those things. But right now, they're here with us. We got to prepare like they're going to be here with us, and you know, we're just going to look at every option that we have. And obviously, we all know that position for this football team has to improve, and we're going to do everything we can to improve that position.
Could you approve Ritter?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's still a young quarterback that, you know, with this day and age, though, you know, there's a lot of impatient people, impatient media. Like, you don't see the days of being able to grow guys.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody knows it's a performance business, and you got to perform right now. But, you know, he'll continue to grow throughout his career in learning the game, learning how to play the game, protecting the ball better, all those different things. Like, there's definitely ways that every player can improve.
Always good to hear from T.J. Yates, the pride and joy of Pope High School. Went on to star at North Carolina and carved himself out a nice career in the National Football League. Now he's off to an early start in his coaching career and will be the Falcons quarterback coach this year. Also, one of the assistant coaches retained was offensive line coach Dwayne Ledford. He was also given a new title, Run Game Coordinator. Here is Coach Ledford discussing his new role and how it was a little touchy on whether he would be returning or not.
You got a new title. What does the new title mean for you? Run Game Coordinator.
Yeah, Run Game Coordinator. I'm excited about it, you know, and just you know, the opportunity, first and foremost, just being back here, D-Led, and to be here with this organization and be able to coach the men that I get to coach, like, I'm very, very thankful for that. Mm-hmm. And just excited that we get to continue to build on those things now, you know. And so we're ready to hit the ground running.
And the Rams were running zone, and they moved to gap stuff last year. And you all been zone, outside zone. How are y'all working to, you know, synthesize things?
Well, and that's to be something where really good conversations come apart these next couple of weeks. Like when we start getting in there and start, you know, dissecting and talking as a group, and just all of us getting in there, and then you start formulating like, hey, this is what it's going to look like, you know, going forward. And so that's something like in these next couple of weeks that'll start taking form and take shape with it.
You looking forward to the scouting part here coming up at the combine?
I am. That's always a good part. I mean, it's an important piece of it, just to try to start getting to know these guys that are in the draft, and just making sure that you know, we are making that they are a good fit for what we are looking for. And so it's a great opportunity for guys. So I'm always excited about that time of the year.
And getting the rookie ready last year, are you excited about him making a big jump in year two, Matt Bergeron?
I am. I was very happy and excited to see Bergeron throughout the season last year, because I thought that he got better each week. And, you know, he was played a lot of snaps for us. Like, he played a lot. And went against some really good guys. Great competition that year one. And did a really good job with it. And so I'm very excited. And can't wait to see what that year two is going to look like for him. And excited about getting him back here so we can start working on getting ready for that year two.
All right. Thanks for Coach Ledford stopping by the Bowtie Chronicles podcast and shedding some light on one of the strengths of the Falcons, the offensive line. Now, running backs coach Mike Petry, we discussed with him his return to the coaching staff and how he envisioned things will go this offseason for the running backs.
You be staying on staff with Raheem Morris.
Extremely humbling. Extremely grateful to have the opportunity to stay here and continue to work with Tyler Allgeier, Bijan Robinson, Carlos Washington, Avery Williams, and just that group, and just continue to build a relationship and obviously coaching those guys.
And what of the vision has Coach Morris and Zach Robinson shared with you with regards to the running back room?
You know, we haven't even gotten to that conversation yet, but the thing that I would say, vision, it's going to be a collaborative environment. It's going to be a collaborative environment, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing what we're doing.
And coordinating the run game with Coach Ledford, how will that look and how will that take shape as you all move forward?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be much different moving forward on how things have been done here. At the end of the day, I think you just – obviously, Zach and those guys come in and they'll have their ideas, and Led, and we'll have our ideas. But at the end of the day, we're just going to want to put these guys in the best situations to be successful, to be able to utilize and capitalize off of their talents and abilities.
And, you know, it looks like they ran a mixture of zone and then a lot of gap last year. Are you all equipped to do whatever? That's going to be part of the discussions on how you're going to attack people in the run game?
I think we'll discuss a lot of things. I think on February 15th, it's too early to know what we're going to do, because so much of what you're going to do is based off of your personnel. So you have an idea of what you want to do. But, again, until we get the roster and all that stuff taken care of, and Terry and those guys do their part in terms of building the roster and free agency, draft, all that, we won't know. But I think right now it's just creating a foundation of us as a staff being extremely collaborative and working together and building those relationships.
And I know when Bobby Turner was here, he always got excited about scouting the combine and knowing all the running backs in the draft. You know, how are you getting prepared for the combine and looking at the running back group this year?
Slow and steady. Stay the course, you know what I mean, and be thorough. And, again, it'll be a collaborative. We got scouts, got the personnel department, take their information. We'll watch some film, do that, and then we'll all talk about it and come to a conclusion on what we need to do to put the Atlanta Falcons in the best situation to compete on Sundays come this fall.
Well, under Coach Petrie's watch, the running backs went from 31st in the league on the ground to third. And then last season, they maintained their spot in the top 10, even though people knew that they had to run the ball. They finished ninth in rushing, so Michael Petry was retained by the new staff, and he'll be back to coach the running backs for the Atlanta Falcons. One of the new coaches who has come over in an important role at defensive line from the Los Angeles Chargers is Jay Rogers, Coach Rogers is a well-known defensive line coach. He won the Terlick Award in 2018, which goes to the top defensive line coach, well-respected coach in the game. Here's what he had to say about coming to the Falcons on Coach Raheem Morris' staff.
Excited about getting started here with the Atlanta Falcons?
I'm very excited. I've been going for 4 days now, so it's been awesome.
And I know y'all haven't studied a lot of tape yet, but what was your conception coming in, and what was Raheem's vision that he shared for the defensive front for you?
You know, we're in that process of evaluating everybody, trying to see who they are and what we can do to improve. So we're just starting to go through that process. And, you know, obviously we haven't quite gotten into the nuts and bolts of the defense yet. But I know that the things that Jimmy said and Raheem has said is playing fast, physical, and free. And that's kind of where we're going to start with, and then we'll just keep progressing throughout the entire spring.
And from afar, you know, I know you heard of Oyemata and Grady, and we don't know about Calais. I saw him at the Super Bowl. He's still got to go through his process. But, you know, what are some of the personnel that you know about?
You know, I was over in the West Coast. And in the AFC for the last Chargers. 3 years. So, and I think we played the Falcons one time, I think in 2022.
Right.
So I'm not familiar with a lot of the guys. And some of these guys, you know, it's been a while since they came out of college. So it's people grow up during that time.
Right.
So, like I said, you know, we're going through the evaluation process right now. I'm trying to get to know these guys. I've only talked to a couple of them on the phone, working through that right now. And getting to know these guys.
And, you know, I don't know, Zach Harrison was a rookie that came on. He's somebody got to study and see what he can do for you all up front.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of really good things about him.
Okay.
You know, he did some good things here last year. And so, you know, my job is to try to see where what we can do to get him to be the most productive that he could possibly be. And, you know, that's what I plan on doing, is studying him, what he does well, seeing how he fits within the scheme, and go from there.
And what year was it you won the Terlick Award?
That was 2018.
Okay, yeah. What was some of some of your people that did a lot of work for you that year?
We had, that year, 2018, we had a really good defense, just overall, at all three levels. Guys who played in our room. Akeem Hicks was a Pro Bowler that year. Eddie Goldman should have been a Pro Bowler that year. Bilal Nichols, great player. He's now a free agent. Roy Robertson Harris, a great player, pass rusher. Nick Williams, I think, was on that group. Jonathan Bullard. There was a couple guys. You know, we stayed healthy. You know, Abdullah Anderson was also on practice squad, I believe, that year. And he was also a player here, I believe, years later. You know, we had a lot of really good players, and the guys played well. We had a great culture in that room, and you know, our job was to go kick ass, and that's what they did every week.
Well, we thank Coach Rogers for stopping by. Be interesting to see what all he's going to be doing up front to try to generate the pass rush and stop the run. You don't get to rush the passer until you stop the run, and he knows that better than just about anybody. Another new assistant coach on the secondary level is Justin Hood. He's a young guy that's coming over from the Green Bay Packers. He knew Jerry Gray from his time up there. But here is Justin Hood, a native of Youngstown, Ohio, discussing his role with the new coaching staff.
How did the deal go down for you to join Coach Morris' staff and come here to Atlanta?
Yeah, an interview. No, in all reality, Coach reached out. They had put in the slip for me and set up the interview. Had a chance to sit down and talk with Coach Morris along with Jimmy. Things went well, and shortly after, they offered me a position here. My wife and I, we had a chance to sit down, weigh the pros and cons, and we saw ourselves here in a great opportunity with the, you know, the roster and the people that we're going to be working with. So we're excited about it.
And were you familiar with Coach Gray at all?
Extremely.
Okay.
So I worked with Coach Gray for two seasons in Green Bay. You talk about a really good football coach. He's an even better person. So saw that opportunity as well and jumped at it. So looking forward to working with him again.
Hey, I'm just trying to follow the flow chart and the titles. So you will have the safeties and the corners?
Yeah, we'll tag team. I mean, you talk about, you know, Coach Morris being a secondary guy, Jimmy being a secondary guy. Jerry Gray being a secondary guy, and then myself, we won't be lacking in coaches back there. So we'll be working as a team.
How would you describe your coaching style?
Coaching style? Probably more of a teacher. In my opinion, I always want to know what guys see and how they're perceiving it and why they're doing what they're doing. Tweak things here and there, but overall, I'm a teacher.
Well, that's Coach Hood, Justin Hood. He'll be working with the secondary for the Atlanta Falcons. Now, our next coach up is some of you all will remember him from his days with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the inside linebacker, Mr. Barrett Roode. He'll be coaching the inside backers for the Falcons. Here is Coach Roode.
What was it like getting the news coming here to join Coach Morris's staff?
Extremely excited for me. I've known Raheem for a long time, and number one, to get a chance to go work for him again, I was absolutely thrilled because I know, what kind of coach and more importantly, what kind of person he is. Mm-hmm. I can't say I know many NFL teams extremely well, but being an NFC South guy, I was here in Atlanta playing a lot. I remember those battles in the in the old dome, and the fans here were always fantastic. So being able to come to an organization like this, that was equally as exciting of an opportunity for me.
And talking to Raheem and Jimmy, what have they expressed as their vision for the different units and how you all plan to attack folks?
Yeah, it's going to be fun for me because, both Raheem and Jimmy have branched out, schematically a little bit since I was with them at Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Raheem's done some different things with the Rams. Jimmy's done some different things at UW, at Washington. But their core beliefs remain the same. The effort the players are going to play with. The technique, the detail, the fundamentals, that's what hadn't changed. There's going to be some new schematics. And then, we also know what they had last year here in Atlanta. They played really good defense last year. So I'm really excited to, kind of blend that all together with this new staff. I'd say that's going to be a fun time.
And you're at least the three that played a lot last year, Nate and our guy from New Orleans.
Caden.
Caden.
And Troy.
I didn't remember Troy. I don't know why I missed Caden. But how do you see those guys progressing? I know it's early and you probably ain't really watched a lot of film, but your take on those three.
Yeah, I think they all got unique skill sets.
It's misplaced.
They all got unique skill sets. I think they complement each other very well. Troy, unfortunately, I think he got hurt early in the year last year, so didn't get a ton of reps throughout the year. But I'm excited about the group. I've heard nothing but great things about what they're like as people, character-wise, how they work, how they approach, the day-to-day. And then now it's about just taking it to the next level. I think the fortunate thing is, even Caden being, I think he's maybe in his sixth year now, he's a little bit of a veteran, but, all those guys are fairly young players, so there's going to be a lot of room to, to continue to grow.
And transitioning from college to pro as a coach, how's that for you?
Yeah, no, it's going to be, number one, I haven't made one phone call to recruit since I've been here. That's kind of nice. There's no portal. I don't have to take any photos that I know of. So that part's really nice. But there will be some transitions. Like, for example, in college, you have real limited meeting time. A lot of times you might have 20 minutes before a practice to do an installation. So you feel like an auctioneer at times trying to rattle off all the information where you get a full day in the NFL. So you get more time to spend with your guys. But at the same time, coaching is coaching, and you got to have rules to let them play fast. You got to have fundamentals. You got to have details. That stuff doesn't change, but it will be nice, being able to have more time with your players and not having to do as much recruiting.
We like to thank Coach Roode. He remembered his time of chasing the Falcon quarterbacks around the Georgia Dome back in the day. He played from 05 to 2010, so he wouldn't have seen the new stadium at all. But that is what we have here from some of the assistant coaches who made available. And we hope you enjoy what they had to say about being on the staff and their plans for the upcoming season. At this time, we're going to take a break at the midway point here. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach. An air freshener can make your car smell like paradise. a drive to Daytona Beach will actually get you there. Beach on. Plan your trip today at DaytonaBeach.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we ask you all to send along some questions, and we got one a couple things here. One from, it's a kind of a multiple choicer from Garrett Key. So we're going to ask his question and try to answer it for you. And then we had a comment from another fan that took a notice of our coverage during the coaching search. So from Garrett Key, he says, do you think the Falcons QB situation will be addressed in the draft or through a trade / free agency? That's one question. Seems like they'd have to pay a high price to move up to get some of the highly thought of QBs. If they were to go to the trade market, which of the following QBs do you think would work best for the Falcons? And then he gives me four choices. Okay, so let's answer number one. Do you think the Falcons QB situation will be addressed during the draft or through trade or free agency? Okay, we'll know because free agency and trade comes first. It'll start on March 13th, free agency period. And what will happen with Kirk Cousins, we'll know. We'll see if the Falcons have money to go there. If not, then, some backup free agency guys would be Baker Mayfield. Do you get into a bidding war with Tampa for him? And then I've been toying around. Jimmy Garoppolo's got suspended for 2 games, but he's free now. And he's got a 43-20 record. So I don't know if you want him as the quarterback for the future, but you still need a veteran backup. So those are the free agent ones that we could talk about. The trade is Justin Fields. And, you know, if you believe all the internet, he's unlike the Bears, and he started following all the Falcons. So, but then there's also a troubling stat on there about him and Mitch Trubisky through 40 games, and it's about the same. So that would be your trade free agent scenario. Yeah, and if you're going to trade up, that is a high price. And here is the other question. If you were to go to trade market, which of the following QBs do you think would work best for the Falcons? And we have Fields, R. Wilson, Murray, and Daniel Jones. Okay, Daniel Jones has just signed $40 million contract. I don't think he works. Murray would be the best, but Arizona's going to stay with him. Fields, he's only 10-28 as a starter. That's a problem. But, you know, that line has been so bad. And then R. Wilson, that would be Russell Wilson. Of this group, I would say Fields would be the best option, although I'm troubled by the numbers I just saw comparing him to Mitch Trubisky through 40 games. So that's where they're at. They're not in a good place. And in our Cover 9 at 9 blog, we'll look at, okay, if they have to sit still, they can't get anybody in free agency or via trade. They got the 8th pick and they can't trade up. They can't really wait to the 2nd and 3rd round like they did with Ridder. And they would have to swing for the fences early is what Matt Miller termed it as today when we talked to him on the conference call. And the swing early pick would be, drum roll, J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. They believe, Miller believes that he's better than Bo Nix and Anthony Penix Jr., and that they could kind of talk themselves into J.J. because of the intangibles that he has, and the guy's a winner and so forth. So That's where they're at here at the quarterback search headed into the combine. And then we got, you know, during the coaching search, it came to our attention that Falcons defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake had got, into a situation at the University of Washington where he ended up buying out his contract, where he allegedly hit a player on the sideline and shoved him in the back on national TV. But nobody bought it up. We felt it should have been discussed as part of the hiring process. And so we did. We brought it up on Twitter. We brought it up a couple different places and got some kind of wayward calls about, hey, is this personal? No, it's not personal. You got to cover. I don't even know Jimmy Lake. So you got to, when you get new coaches, you got to find out about them. Find out, you know, the good and the bad and so forth. So that's what we were trying to do. And one of our readers sent a DM alone that said, good work. Because Ken Segura did a good job of asking about it at the press conference. He kind of, you know, dodged it and said, well, his players still contact him and so forth. But, you know, we're not really worried about the merit of the answer. But one of our readers from Corey sent us a DM. Good work to you and your team on the Jimmy Lake coverage. Appreciate the willingness to deal with the hire in its totality rather than brush over it. Hey, well, Corey, thank you very much. We appreciate it. You know, we know sometimes we're going to have to take some heat, but if you can't take the heat, don't come in the kitchen. And so, we did. It was just stunning to me that nobody said anything about it. I mean, this guy, he got a buyout of $9.9 million. And it was all over the internet. I didn't republish the internet thing. I didn't send that back out there, but it's out there. You can Google it on Jimmy Lake, University of Washington. I wonder if the kid that was involved, is he one of the kids that are still tweeting a coach or not? But anyway, let's move on and start getting ready for the scouting combine. We will be getting to Indy Monday night. Terry Fontenot is supposed to speak Tuesday morning. I think he already kind of practiced his speech on NFL Report with Steve Weiss and James Palmer. So we ran a story on that, covering the quarterback search and some of the other issues. Maybe we'll have some news on some of the veterans. It's out there that Cordarrelle Patterson's contract has been voided. You know, Mike Hughes, Lorenzo Carter, a couple other. I think Lorenzo only had a one-year deal, so that doesn't matter. Then Taylor Heineke, you know, they got some moves to make. If they're going to go after Kirk Cousins, they'll need a little bit of room to create, but they can do that. Go to Jake Matthews' contract for that. But let's get, and then the combine will start in earnest on Sunday, run through the next Monday on the 4th. Player availability will start on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So linebackers and defensive line on Wednesday, D-backs and tight ends on Thursday. Got a circle around Brock. That's Brock Bowers. Then on Friday, running backs, quarterbacks, wide receivers. And on my list, I got Caleb, Penix, and McCarthy. And then O-line, place kickers, and special team guys on Saturday. That's media availability dates. That's not workout dates for NFL Network and for you all watching on TV. We'll have the TV schedule out for you, too. But of the list of, I think, 321 players, there are 35 from Georgia, two from HBCUs, William Drew, cornerback from Virginia State, and then Anam Dakwa, the tackle from Howard, be the two HBCU players at the scouting combine. And here are, we have 35 with Georgia connections. We're going to go through all of them. I got bios. I've been working on them up to 20. So I got 15 more to go. And we'll have those published in the AJC over the weekend here. But running back Dejon Edwards from Georgia and Colquitt County. Kendall Milton, a Georgia running back. Kamani Vidal from Troy. He's from Marietta High, 2023 Sun Belt Offensive Player of the Year. I had a Troy school record, 1,661 yards rushing. So little scat back, 5'8", 215. Wide receivers, Javon Baker out of Central Florida and McEachern High. He started at Alabama, but ended up at Central Florida. Ladd McConkey, North Murray High in Georgia. 6 foot, 187. He's going to be a slot receiver in the NFL. On the fringe first round pick. Bub Means, Pittsburgh, Lovejoy. He also played at Louisiana Tech and was a defensive back at Tennessee. Marcus Rosema Jackson from Georgia. Jamari Thrash from Louisville, Troup County High. He started at Georgia State. He was a big stud for them before he ended up at Louisville. Then Malik Washington at Virginia, wide receiver from Parkview High. He played last season as a grad transfer after starting his career at Northwestern. So those are tight ends with local, or wide receivers with local ties. Tight ends, Jaheim Bell from Florida State and Valdosta High. Spent some time at South Carolina. And then, of course, Brock Bowers. The three-time All-American, two-time John Mackey Award winner. He's a top 10 talent, but, you know, tight ends in the top 10 doesn't happen much. So you're seeing him around the 13, 14, and 15 mark in a lot of mock drafts. Now, offensive linemen, you got Tylan Grable from Central Florida in Wilkinson County, 6'7", 290. He's going to have to put on some weight. Trenton Jones from Michigan and Grayson High. He was a tackle and an extra blocker for them. Dylan McMahon, NC State. Savannah Christian, he's a center. Fifth-year center, played in 10 games last year, 621 offensive snaps. Amarius Mims, 6'7", 340, Georgia, Bleakley County, right tackle. Should be a day two pick. All right, Hunter Norzad from Penn State and the Walker School out in Marietta, 6'3", 220, Penn State. Engineering degree at Cornell before transferring to Penn State. So he's probably one of them smart centers that can get you all lined up and figure out where the blocking's supposed to go and all that kind of good stuff. All right, and then Cedric Van Pron Granger from Georgia, 6'4", 310. He is the last lineman in our group, offensive lineman. Defensive lineman from Georgia, we have Justin Obonge B from Alabama, Florida, Forest Park. He was healthy after suffering a season-ending neck injury midway through 2022. He's named first team All-SEC by the conference coaches. And second team, all SEC by the AP. Zion Lodge from Georgia, 6'5", 310. Played in every game last season, made 10 starts on the defensive line. And then linebacker, Michael Barrett, 6'2", 239, University of Michigan from Lowndes. Started 15 games and played on special teams. Okay, and here go the guys I've still got some work to do on. J.D. Bertrand from Notre Dame, Blessed Trinity, linebacker. Aaron Casey, Indiana, linebacker from Douglasville, Alexander High and Douglasville. Steel Chambers, linebacker, Ohio State, from Blessed Trinity. Kalen DeLoach, Florida State, from Islands High, from Savannah area. Khalid Duke, 6'4", 246, Kansas State, Riverside Military Academy. All right, Tyron Hopper from Missouri, Roswell High. Okay, and John Trey Hunter, linebacker, Georgia State, played in the Senior Bowl. He will be also at the Combine. Trevin Wallace, 6'2", 220, Kentucky, linebacker from Wayne County. Okay, and now to the defensive backs. Cole Bishop, 6'2", 207 from Utah. He played at Stars Mill High. Cole Bishop, safety, 6'2", 207. Okay, Georgia D-back Javon Bullard. He's considered a second-round pick by Matt Miller from ESPN. Marcellus Dial, South Carolina and Georgia Military College. Marcellus Dial, 6'0", 190, South Carolina. Kamari Lassiter, 6'0", 180, from Georgia. He's considered a top 50, top 55 player. So that's day two for sure. Jalen Simpson, Auburn, Frederica Academy. Okay, and Tykee Smith, Georgia cornerback. He's considered a fourth to fifth round cornerback, according to Matt Miller. And then lastly on our list, Nate Wiggins, 6'2", 185, corner from Clemson, long gifted athletic corner, who had 50 tackles last year, 23 pass breakups, 3 interceptions over his career, including 2 that were returned for touchdowns. From Westlake High, you know, pride and joy of A.J. Terrell also. So there we have it. That's our those are our local guys that'll be at the scouting combine. We'll hear from general manager Terry Fontenot. I haven't confirmed that the coach, can't imagine the coach not speaking there, but we'll see. But yeah, that's where we're at. We're headed up there. We will, you know, definitely be trying to stay on top of the players from Georgia. Big name quarterbacks, we'll definitely sit on them. Caleb Williams will be the big one when he comes into the media room. Jaden Daniels from LSU, and then Drake May from North Carolina. And then we'll study that second tier group too with J.J. McCarthy, Bo Penix, and Ann Penix Jr. And then I got a list of my guys a little bit deeper in the draft for you all. That I'm going to make sure we do our homework on them too. Sam Hartman, Joe Milton III from Tennessee. I wanted to see a little bit more from him at the Senior Bowl. And then Spencer Rattler, and Jordan Travis. And we, you know, when we started looking at Matt Ryan's replacement 5 years ago, must be me and Cunningham, And Spence Rattler was the one that kept coming up. Oh, well, he's going to be the top quarterback in 2021, 2022. And then, you know, stuff just didn't work out for him at at Oklahoma. And so he ends up transferring and then putting it together a little bit at South Carolina. But, yeah, he's a big arm guy that, you know, you got to determine if he could process or not. But you got to look at quarterbacks at all different levels. I wouldn't be opposed to drafting 2 if you got him late and somebody else early and a veteran off the street. You know, whatever, you got to find a quarterback some kind of way to make this team go. And the Falcons are fully aware of that. Well, all right, we're going to get on out of here from the 452nd episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Take care and have a great rest of your week.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.